Well, if you were here last week or you happen to be watching online, you'll know that I shared with you a word that I felt like the Lord was underlining in my heart, and I had been kind of baking it for the last 2 or 3 months. And I ended up calling it Forget Me Not. And part of what started me thinking along these lines was I was reading that passage from Deuteronomy chapter 8, and it talked, as God was talking to the Israelites, and as they were about to go into the promised land, he was reminding them of what he had done for them in the past, and not to forget that, but also in light of what they were coming into, and all the prosperity, the blessing, to also not have that be an excuse for them to forget him. And I don't know how you look at this or think about this, but I kind of think this is the thing that is plaguing our culture. We have simply forgotten God. And, you know, whether that's due to not being able to remember what he has done for us in the past, or if it's because of all of the blessing that we know and enjoy, it seems to me that the very thing that God warned Israel about is the very thing we find ourselves experiencing today. And the thing that is a bit concerning, it's very concerning about that, is what God says at the very end of that passage. He says, if you do forget me, if you choose to live a life, a culture of forgetting me, I will destroy you as I have destroyed other nations before you. Those are very, very, very sobering words. So it feels like if we are as the body of Christ, as the church, if we are the salt to our land, right? That's what Jesus said. We are the light. We are the salt of the earth. We are the ones bringing flavor. We're bringing to bear what matters most, right? That the people who should be living, not forgetting God, should be us. It should be us. It should be us who are living lives, and it can be demonstrated lives that we are not living as though we are forgetting God. And part of you, a part of us, signaling that is the fact that we showed up here this morning. Right? We went to the house of the Lord. Because in doing so, what we're saying is we are remembering God. I hear people say, I don't have to go to church to believe in God. Well, of course you don't have to do that, right? You can believe in God. This isn't in my notes. None of this right now I'm saying right now is in my notes. You know, today people act like, they talk like, believing in God is some great feat. Like, well, you know, I have performed what I need to do. I believe in God. Listen, it used to be that everybody believed in God. I mean, you were nuts not to, right? Now it's kind of flipped. You're nuts if you do, but that's no big feat. Believing in God should be the norm, right? It's not about believing in God. You know, I don't know if you know this. The Bible says, I think it's in the book of James, it says, the devil believes in God. The devil does. So you aren't a whole lot further down the highway if you simply believe in God. What it means is that you do what the devil does. It's not just about believing in God. I mean, that's a nice start. At least at that point, you're as smart as the devil. Right? What we're talking about here is what, to go back to what Heidi said, it is us pledging our allegiance to God, our lives to God, saying to Him, you are mine and I am yours. And I'm going to live like that. I'm going to talk like that. I'm going to walk like that. I am going to order my life as though you are the one. How did you define that? Who is over me and able to direct my the affairs of my life. So that was all for free. Okay, so that was all free right there. Let me see if I can even get back on track here. It is obvious, in light of some things I shared with you last week, that the Lord, and by the way, if you didn't hear that, I would encourage you to go online. You can find it on YouTube someplace. It'll be there. It is obvious that the Lord does not want us living with spiritual dementia. You know, like, whoa, you know, we're forgetting. We're forgetting. Now, the type of forgetting that I'm zeroed in here as we talk about these things. It's not the kind of forgetting where you, maybe you're at your house and you're like me, you remember something you need to get from the basement, and when you get down to the basement, as Lisette has said so adeptly, she gone. Whatever that was, she gone. It's gone. So then you're in the basement trying to remember. But you know, we were remodeling this house next to where we live all summer. I spent more time looking for things that I had set somewhere than I did actually remodeling. Looking, what did I do with that? Where did that go? Where did I place it? You know, a screwdriver, a wrench, and couldn't find, you know, I eventually found it. I thought, oh, that's where I put it, right? That's really not the kind of forgetfulness that I'm talking to you about. It's not the kind of forgetfulness where you should know the person's name that you're talking to right now, right? And all of a sudden you have a mental, lapse. And sometimes it can happen with people that you know very, very well. And it's just like, I can't remember your name. Like, sorry, right? That's really not the kind of forgetfulness that I'm talking to you about. To best illustrate the kind of forgetfulness that I believe God is talking to us about, I would like to use the illustration of marriage. And what I mean by that is, it's one thing if I forget what I went into the basement for, or if I forget your name when I'm talking to you. It's quite another thing if I forget that I'm married. That's a little wider and deeper in terms of forgetfulness. And again, I'm not talking about, you know, where did I put Jody? Like, where did Jody go? What happened to Jody? I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about like, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about living my life in such a way that I forget that I'm married to her. That's what God is talking about when He says, don't forget me. Don't live in such a way that you forget that you are betrothed. You are connected. You are related to me. That's the kind of forgetting that I'm talking about. It is clear that God's desire is that our relationship with Him would be in the forefront of our hearts and minds. So today I'd like to share with you some thoughts about how we can better succeed at not forgetting God, having Him in the forefront of our thinking, Now, I want to say before we get started, it is not my heart to give you some more stuff to do so that in 30 or 60 days from now, you can be depressed over the fact that you didn't do it. You know what I'm talking about, right? We start out with those Bible reading programs, and we're good. And then we hit the genealogies in the Old Testament, and this thing starts to fade, right? And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about giving you some stuff that will help you and help me in our pursuit of God. Now, it's important for us to know that doing particular things, it's not unbiblical. It's not outside the realm of the Bible. In fact, it's very biblical to find ways in which we cannot forget God. For example, God had people in the Old Testament he had them take rocks. Right? I have a picture for you. If you could put that first picture. He had them take rocks and make what was known at that time as an altar. Right? He had done something significant in this place, in this moment. And he said, what I want you to do is I want you to pile up a bunch of rocks. And that's going to, it would become an altar for their various sacrifices and stuff. But what it was also meant to do is to remind them of God. Remind them of something particular about God, but most importantly, to remind them about God. These memorials, if I can say it that way, were part of the landscape. People, as they come and went, they would walk by these places, and when they saw those places, they would be reminded of God, right? In fact, last week we were talking, I was reading to you out of Deuteronomy. It was a passage there where God was talking to his people right before they were going to cross over the Jordan and enter into the promised land. The very first thing, in fact, I open in chapter 27 of that same book, listen to what God says to them at the moment that they've crossed over and they're now in the promised land that he had spoken to him about. Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, keep all these commandments that I give you today. When you have crossed over the Jordan into the land your God is giving you, this is what God told Moses for Moses to tell the people. First thing, we're going over, we've set feet in on some new territory here. He says, this is what he says. He says, into the land the Lord God has given you, set up some large stones and coat them with plaster. And write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over to enter the land the Lord God has given you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. So he asks them, very first thing, I want you to put up a memorial so that you will be reminded of what I have done, right? Now, I don't know, some have suggested that this is the very one. The picture I'm showing you is the very one on Mount Ebal that they did as they entered the promised land. Who knows? But the point remains that he caused them to do something in order to remember him. Now, another example might be these thing called phylacteries. Anybody heard that before, phylacteries? They were leather boxes. Go ahead and put the picture up there. He called them to wear these little boxes. You can see the one box on the dude's head right there, and there's another one on their arm. And in those boxes, were some different passages of Scripture that were designed by nature to remind them of who God was, right? So it was right here in their, so that they're in their thinking, in their mind, and the reason it's on the arm is it has to do with what you do. your the doing. Your thinking and your doing. We're going to put these verses in the boxes, and they're designed to remind you. And it was based on this passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy 8, which says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them to your foreheads. That's the verse that they took literally that caused them to do this in an effort to remember God. I could give you countless other examples, but not to miss the point. The point of the matter is sometimes having physical reminders aids us in not forgetting God. Now, I want to assure you this morning as we go through this, I'm not recommending that we go out and we all purchase some of these phylacteries to wear. I'm not suggesting that this morning. I don't know, maybe you want to. That'll be interesting if you come next week with those on. And I'm not suggesting that when I drive by your house sometimes this week, I see you out there with a bunch of rocks in your front yard. Okay? I'm not, that's not where we're going. In fact, if you were to study this thing out, there is no hint in the New Testament that Jesus or any of the other early churches or believers actually were called to do these things, to pile up rocks or to wear things on their head or their arm. But with that in mind, we need, all of us need things to help us with our memory. Hello? We need some stuff. So let's talk about that. What kind of things might you and I engage in that would help us to continue to cultivate an active relationship in terms of remembering, not forgetting God, but remembering God? And the first thing I would tell you, if you want to write this down, I might want to write this down. You will want to write this down. Number one, this is kind of one big one, and then the next one will be a little one, right? So the first thing I would recommend to us this morning for us to live a life of not forgetting God is to cultivate an active relationship with the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, why do I say that? Why is that important? Jesus, when teaching about the ministry of the Holy Spirit to his disciples, among other things that he would do for them, like counsel them, comfort them, things like that, this is what he said in John 14:26. He said, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Amen. Two things are mentioned there in that brief verse. The first thing it says, it's right there for you on the screen. The first thing it says, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will teach you. That is the Greek word, didasko, which means to provide, the Holy Spirit will provide information to us so that we have an understanding of things. It's going to give us much needed information so that, you know, we can tend to be confused people. He's going to give us stuff we need to know so that we're clear on some stuff, right? Our understanding is clear. But the second thing, and the thing I want to draw your attention to, it says he will remind us. He will remind us. The Greek word is pronounced hupomineo. I don't know, something like that. Anyways, what you need to know is what it means. It means to cause someone to remember, to bring to remembrance, or to recall to one's mind. In other words, not forget. One of the primary functions of the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus, is to help us remember. That's what he does. That is why I'm suggesting to you that you and I cultivate a meaningful relationship with the Holy Spirit so that we become reliant upon His ministry in our lives so as to not forget God. Now, somebody might be here this morning and say, well, how do I cultivate that kind of relationship? And I'd like to suggest to you this morning that where it all begins is you simply ask for His help. Don't assume. Ask for His help. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Now, if you're here this morning and you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. That's what the Bible tells us. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And He is within us to help us. That's what His name means, the Helper. The one called alongside of to help, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. And one of the ways Jesus says He helps us is to remind us. I understand that one of the things that people can do nowadays is to have their electronic assistant remind them of such a thing. They have names for them. Alexa, have I got it right? Siri, Google Assistants. I never heard of this one before. Cortana. Wow. All of these entities have the ability to remind people of stuff. Right? I know nothing about this. Nothing about it. You can somehow, what I do know in just a little bit that I read, there is a way that you can program these things in such a way to remind you of things that you shouldn't forget, like appointments, getting up, things like that. You know, important things. And I got to tell you, while I would not, I don't want to poo-poo their role. And so, you know, maybe there is a place for us to be able to program them in order to help us to not forget God. I don't know, but I would recommend that as people of God, as people in pursuit of God, that we start, here's where we should start. We should start by asking Him for the help that He has offered us in the person of the Holy Spirit to be reminded of what we need to be reminded about. Right? The Holy Spirit is with us all the time. Alexa's not. At least not that I know of. It seems to me that we should accept this offer and make it our mission to perpetually seek the help of the Holy Spirit by asking Him for His help. Now, I know all of us in here, in one way, shape, or another, we have a hard time asking others for help. I would recommend that you not take that posture when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Like maybe you should start out, I should start out every day saying, Holy Spirit, I need what Jesus said you have to offer. I need you to counsel me. I need you to comfort me. I need you to teach me. And I'm going to need you to remind me of some things today so as to not forget. To me, that's the starting point. Is I'm asking the one who created the universe, the one who said, I'm going to give you some help, that I start out my day, my life, by saying, would you please help me? I need your help. I am not going to know the things I need to know. I'm not going to remember the things that I need to remember without your help. Would you please help me? That's what it means to cultivate an active relationship with the Holy Spirit. You ask for help. come and help me. Now, beyond cultivating this kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit, I would also point out a couple of other very biblical tools to help us to not forget God. You ready? Now, that was the big number one, Holy Spirit. Here's a little number one, write things down. Write things down. As most of you know, who have been around here for a while, everybody thinks that this thing is my Bible. It's not. But for over 30 years, I have carried this around. 30 years, that's unbelievable. It's called a day timer, and I know this is like totally old school, like this, I'm surprised people even buy them anymore, right? Because there's devices that can do the same thing for you. But I'm very familiar with how this works. I have a system, I'll say it that way, that I use. And I just got to tell you, if I did not write things down in this, you all would have fired me a long time ago. Because I forget things. Even when I ask the Holy Spirit to remind me, I still forget some things. But the best shot I've got at not forgetting things is to say, Holy Spirit, would you please help me to remember what I need to remember? And then I turn to the day of that day of the week, and voila, there's some stuff written down there for me to help remind me of what I have to do today. Right? Write things down. I want to give you a sample. There is probably right now on my desk about a dozen of these. Some would call it a mess. For me, it's important. These are sheets that I have written stuff down on. I've got arrows going over here, and so, I mean, if you looked at this, you'd say, what a mess. But this is serious business for me. Because when I feel like the Holy Spirit is talking to me about something, I write it down. I have had multiple experiences whether it says I'm coming awake in the morning or whether I'm going about the day, I feel like something is being impressed on me. Like there's something coming. And listen, if I don't write that down in that moment, and I think, I won't forget that. Hours later, I'm thinking, what was that? And I, for whatever reason, can't bring it back. It's just not there like it was. So I must write it down. If some of you see me veering on the road, like, that's because I've opened up that thing right here on my passenger seat, and I'm writing like this because I know if I don't write that down, I'm going to forget it. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm trying not to hit cars at that point, right? I should probably just pull over, but, you know, Yeah, just pull over. Just pull over. One of the things I just drew my eyes on, I don't have in my notes, but as God was talking to me about this stuff, and it was actually Pastor Josh said something to me, and I was like, man, I think that's God saying something right there. I wrote this down. You will better remember what you value. If something's important to you, you'll probably better remember that. There's a bunch of other stuff like that on here. But I'm constantly writing stuff down. I could take you to countless scriptures where God calls people to write stuff down. Write it down. Essentially, the whole Bible is a collection of people that have written stuff down. That's what the Bible is. It's stuff written down for them and for now, hundreds of years later, for you and us to read and be in the know about some things and to remember some things. Stuff written down. And one of the first persons to ever write something down was God himself. Did you know that? God writes stuff down. Let me read to you a verse from Exodus 31:18, which says, when the Lord had finished speaking to Moses, now he's talking to Moses, it says he gave him two tablets of the testimony, which we know as the Ten Commandments. And the tablets of stone had been inscribed, does anybody know how? By the finger of God. God said, so you don't forget, I'm going to write this down for you. So if God sees the need to write stuff down, who are you and I to think that we're not going to forget stuff if we don't write it down? You got to write it down. He must know something about us that we need stuff like that to remember and not forget. Writing things down. Part of not forgetting God is about reading and rereading the things already written down, but also writing down things that he is looking to highlight in our hearts. Write it down. Write it down. Find a way, whether that's you get a book or a journal or something, to start writing some things down. It'll help you not forget. And most importantly, not forget God. Number two, things spoken audibly. Things spoken audibly. Some of you may say that you have a hard time remembering things that you've read or things that are written down, retaining information, that kind of way. Things written down can help, but there is something about hearing things audibly and then in turn speaking those things audibly that will further help you remember. For the people of Israel, they were to recite certain passages in Scripture that were written down, and that saying them out loud or audibly would be yet another layer of helping them remember. For example, it's important for you to know that they did not spend time reciting the genealogy of Jacob. They didn't spend time reciting, how many troops the Amorites had. But there were certain passages of Scripture that they would speak forth audibly so as to have that further embedded in there. And we're going to do an exercise here in just a minute to show you the power of speaking things audibly. Some of the things that they used to speak audibly, some of the passages, were what are called the songs of ascent. You can find them in Psalms, starting in chapters 120 and some of the chapters following that. It's usually labeled in your Bible there. And the idea here is that these particular Psalms would be spoken audibly or sung audibly as they were making their way to church, to the temple. They would sing these things. They would chant these things as a way of bringing back to mind who God is, right? Now, when we look and we see that, how the early church functioned, we see no indication that they necessarily were prescribed these things on their way to church as they met together. But we do know this. We know that they were exhorted to sing to one another because in Ephesians, I think I have it for you on the screen here. In Ephesians 5:19, it says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." Now, we know that God, He loves our praise and worship, right? In that way. He loves that. But what I think we tend to forget is that this exercise is not just for God, it's for us. So this morning, when Scott started out with the song, "Bless the Lord, O My Soul," many of the songs that we sing are just scripture put to music. They're phrases, they're portions of scripture set to music, so as to cause us to remember. Are you there? To remind us of who God is. I want to encourage you to exercise that vehicle that God has given us, that way that God has given to us of psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We're singing to the Lord. I get teased around the office more than anywhere, but I've been teased on a time or so because I walk around singing songs that make no sense, right? Like, they're not Sunday morning songs. They're songs I've made up. They're my makeup songs, right? And I sing these things faintly as I'm going around from here to there. Lord, you are wonderful. Lord, you are wonderful. Lord, you are wonderful. Lord, you're wonderful. Just stuff like that. And people say, "Well, that's insanity." And I'm like, "That guy's mad. That guy is mad. He's crazy." And for me, I'm not saying you have to do it, but I am encouraging you when you leave church and you're doing your life, find a song that works for you and sing it. Because it will keep reminding you to not forget God. Hello? We're trying not to forget God. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so on. I don't have the worship band following me around. Whoa, worship band, come. I got to go over here. Sing that again so I won't forget. No, I got to make up my own song. Sometimes one gets stuck in my head from Sunday morning. "Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever." I find myself singing that during the week. I'm not like that, not being obnoxious to people, but just under my breath, faintly, so I and the Lord can hear it. There it is. The whole point is that it's one thing to hear something, it's another thing for you to say something. It underlines it in your heart. It highlights it and helps you to not forget. Now, listen. I'm going to tell you how powerful this is, right? So if I say to you this morning, years ago, for many, many of you, years ago, you heard this, "Twinkle, twinkle, how I wonder, up above, like a diamond." Now, I'm going to guess that before any of you coming here this morning, I'm going to guess that none of you opened your nursery rhyme book and reread that, right? I'm going to guess. You know, it might be a little child here or something that dug it out this morning, but I'm going to guess most of you adults didn't do that before you got there. I'm telling you, there is so much inside of here that it's in there. And the reason it's in there is because somewhere along the way, it wasn't about you just reading over that one time. Somewhere along the way, you heard it, and then you spoke it. And when you spoke it, it got stuck in there someplace. This little piggy. This little piggy. This little piggy. Roast beef. Does it make any sense at all? This little piggy's crying roast beef? What are you talking about? I do this with my grandkids, and they're like, what? My pigs? My toe is a roast beef? I don't know. You get my point, right? Yeah. The point is that someone spoke it to you, then you, in turn, somewhere began to speak that, and it lodged in your heart. It lodged in there. It's in there. It's in your mind. Again, I'm not calling any of us to leap tall buildings here. I'm simply asking and suggesting that if we see the value of how God has wired us to remember, that we would see the importance of giving ourselves to the process. That means If writing things down will help us remember, then I want to encourage you, if you don't already, start writing things down. Just write them down. You know, it's not going to, you know, you're not going to have to take on a loan for that. You're not going to have to, you know, I'm asking you to pile rocks up in your front yard or wear boxes on your head. Just write stuff down. Read the stuff already written down, and then as God highlights stuff to you by His Holy Spirit, start writing that stuff down. It'll help you. It'll help you remember what matters most. And then have stuff come into you audibly, but begin to let that somehow find formation in your lips and begin to speak it forth. That's all. That's all. Today, let us commit ourselves to ask the Holy Spirit to be our personal Alexa, so that we don't end up having spiritual dementia. And let us commit ourselves to writing some things down. And then the other thing I mentioned was opening up our mouths and audibly speaking what matters most and what we need to remember. I guess I'm giving you a license to talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. Say it out loud. Say it out loud. I don't want to forget God. The Bible has suggested that we not only talk to ourselves, but we would speak to one another the praises of God, the nature of God, who God is, that we would speak that out. You know, I know there's a lot of quiet Christians out there. You know, it's all in your heart. It's all inside. And sometimes... it's hard for you to be more boisterous about things. I get that. But if we're going to do good at remembering, at not forgetting who God is, we need to practice the things that He's called us to engage in. It's just simply His way of saying to us, don't forget me. Don't forget me. And as, you know, we can't be You know, it's hard to go out there and with a group of people who don't even know God, ask them not to forget God. You understand what I mean? Like we can, but they don't even really know Him to forget Him. Right? But we're different. We do know Him. And what our goal is to not forget Him. You know, the Israelites forgot Him. You do know that, right? In spite of all these things that God set in place to help them not forget, they forgot Him. So there definitely is a matter of heart and all that engaged, but God's given us some tools, and I believe we should. You know, I said to you the very first week that revival begins by remembering God. And I'm thinking in the book of Revelations where God was writing to one church and He said, listen, go back and do the things you did at first. If you want to know how to restart your love for Me, if you want to know how to restart your not forgetting Me, go back and do the things, the elementary things, I might add, that you could do to re-engage in a heartfelt relationship with Me. I'm going to ask you to stand and pray with me as we wrap things up. Find a blank sheet of paper. I use scrap paper, but find a blank sheet of paper and write some stuff down. Find a song to sing this week under your breath. Little jingle that will help you not forget God. Lord, we just want to say straight out, we don't want to be among the number who have forgotten You, Lord. And we would make it our mission, our heart, Lord, to have You in the forefront of our thinking, in the forefront of our doing. We have it in our heart, Lord, to not forget You so that there's at least a remnant of people that You know are fond of You. And so I pray, Lord, that again, as I said last week, I'll say it again this week, Lord, as we leave this place where we have been once again reminded, We've come here from week to week and You remind us of things, Lord. What I'm asking is that we would not disconnect from this moment as we find our way moving to another place, Lord. We would not disconnect from this moment and forget about You all week long till we're back here again. I'm praying that You would cause each of us to wake up every day and ask for the Holy Spirit to remind us of You. I'm asking that we would see the value in writing some things down when You're reminding us of stuff. And that we would put all of this in a better place in our hearts and mind as we would move our lips and audibly say what needs to be said about who You are and the role that You play in our lives. Lord, I pray Your blessing over us. I pray that You would, Your Holy Spirit, while in us, would go with us and woo us to be near to You this week. Help us to be good examples to others of what it means to have a vibrant relationship with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen, we'll be up here if you have a need of prayer for something, you're carrying something that you'd like others to help you pray about, please come and see us. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a wonderful week in Him.